That's the normal response for David to come on. Yes, gnashing of teeth, wailing. I understand. Oh, I was on a business trip 3 weeks ago. I was traveling from Dallas down to Houston. And so when I got to my hotel, I went in like, you know, you do. You kind of go in and kind of find your way around. And a friend of mine had sent me a text. And when I finally got into the hotel room, I looked at the text, and it was a scripture verse. I was like, oh, you know, I want to read that. And then I was like, oh, I left my Bible in the car. Well, so what do you do? I just reached over to the light stand, you know, opened the drawer, because I know I'm going to find a Gideon Bible, right? It wasn't there. I was like, oh. Now, why I didn't use my phone, I have no idea, but I was just in this mode of, you know, so I started looking around, opening all the drawers. Where's the Gideon Bible? Where's the Gideon Bible? Finally found the drawer. But when I opened it, there were many books in the drawer, many religious, holy books in the drawer. And so, of course, I went through those and I found the one that I'm used to reading. And I opened it and I read the verse. And I was encouraged and, you know, I was like, wow, I needed that. That was a great verse. I loved that. And I put it back and closed the drawer. But as I was closing the drawer, looking at the other holy books, I recalled during my theological studies that our professors had us read all those theological books that were in that drawer, just so that we had an idea of what those other books were talking about. You know, raised in America, the nationalism that we have in America, Christianity. I was just steeped, you know, just in the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. So for me to begin reading other lands, as I thought, you know, books and things like this, and I wanted to reverence them, of course, as I read them, paid attention to what they were saying. But at that moment, as I was closing the drawer, I remember thinking, where is the victory? Where is the victory? And I thought, wow, what would it have been like to go through life without the joy of knowing the story of Moses and the story of David and all the other stories that as believers in the United States and other places around the world who hold to the Old Testament and New Testament as their holy book, all those stories that give us peace and grant us security and all those, just the joy that we get from it, I thought, where is the victory in those who are reading the other books? I see lots of, you must do this now, you must do this then. Now that this has occurred, this is the way we have to do it now. But where is the victory? That's what I wanted to know. And so, growing up in Baptist church, on Wednesday night, sometimes Sunday nights, we would always come together and we could always request songs. Have you ever had those? They're not planned, just who wants to sing a song? You know, what's the number? And we would just raise our hands. This was one of the top 10. I guess I'll just say that. This was one of the top 10s that we all sang on those nights. And all of you know this. I'm not going to sing one that none of you do not know. I'm not going to sing at all, actually. You don't want to hear that. But this was the song that I recall every time we had one of those nights. This was the one. I heard an old, old story. Everyone here is doing just like this. How a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Now, that won the victory part, we all know theologically that we actually enter into Christ's victory. It's not anything that we do of ourselves. We enter into Christ's victory for us. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. I heard about a mansion that he's built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing in that old redemption story. And some sweet day, I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me. He bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him. And all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Whew. That story is not found in the other books. That victory is not found in the other books. And I remember closing that drawer and going, "Where's the victory?" I want to ask you today, is Jesus' victory enough for you? Is it enough for you? You see, in the Bible, you don't have to turn there. In the Bible, I just want to read a passage of Scripture. You all know it. Trust me, you all know it. It's in the book of Colossians. It's in chapter 1. And this is what the New Testament says. It says, "In Jesus," beginning in 14, "in Jesus, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Jesus all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or powers or principalities. All things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. And Jesus is before all things, and in Jesus all things consist. And Jesus is the head of the body, the church. Jesus is the beginning. Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. That in order that in all things Jesus may have the preeminence. Jesus may have first place." And I love all the words that the Holy Spirit poured through Paul to say he's before, he's the head, he's the beginning, he's the preeminent one. All of those things. The other books don't have that story. The other books don't have that truth. We have that truth. Is Jesus' victory enough for you? Really, I say that because in my day-to-day work, I work with very intellectual men, doctors, people who have studied and studied science and studied lots of things, and they're always sharing their wisdom with me. "David, you know, science has disproven, you know, the creation story, and you know, I understand that, you know, Christians and they're very sincere, and but I mean, so many things through the fossils, and you know, they've all been, you know, we've disproven all of those things, and I know that you believe it, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. If the test tube can't prove it out, why would you trust it?" I know. Our word wants us to, our word from the Father, bore through the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, wants us to understand that Jesus came from the Father. And he's first. I love the part that says he's first from the dead, because that means there's going to be a second. I like that. And a third and a fourth. I'm excited about that part. But is Jesus alone enough for you? If you said, you know, I love Jesus, but if we could just find that test tube that would prove out, if we could just find that scientific study that would reveal so that all the world could know that beyond a shadow of it, where are you right now? Are you at that place where you're saying, if only my trust is in Jesus, sure, but if we could only have the, and you fill that in. If it was just Jesus plus, my faith would be so secure. Because then I could tell the old story to all my friends and the people. I wouldn't feel embarrassed. If it was just Jesus plus, and you fill it in, I could share that old story. Oh, and I could smile and I could be so confident in it. Wow. If it was just Jesus plus world peace, I could say, see, look at Jesus has brought peace to the world. If it was just Jesus plus the eradication of cancer, we could say, see, our Jesus has eradicated cancer. If it was just, you fill it in. What are you needing right now? Intellectually, possibly. That if you just had that, then you would say, okay, I surrender. Jesus may have the preeminence in my life. Or is it enough that Jesus and Jesus alone, who he is and what he has accomplished for us, is enough? And you trust him wholeheartedly because of that. You know, when I think about this victory, you know, I said, where is the victory? You know what we're exhorted to do? We're exhorted to remember the victory. It encourages us. When's the last time you remembered the victory? Two different things that we can remember today. The first, when we think about remembering the victory, we can remember the Israelite suffrage. You know, we're told that we're to do that in the Bible. We're to remember the Israelite suffrage and the strong arm of I am the Lord. We're told to remember that. Why are we told to remember that? Wow, what a great story that is. All of y'all remember that story. We've all seen, I'm sure, the movie Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston, right? We've all seen that, like, wow. They play it every time it's Christmas or anything. It doesn't matter. They're playing the Ten Commandments. But we all remember, and we think back, and little Moses and born and, you know, he's in Egypt. And then after 40 years, then he leaves Egypt to the backside of the desert to Mount Horeb. Then he's there another 40 years. And then at 80, when he's just kind of just tending his own, you know, animals, God reveals himself to him through an angel, the form of a burning bush. And y'all know the story. And he's there before this burning bush, and the angel is beginning to tell him. And suddenly he's like, wait a second. What now? What do you want me to do? Wait. I am not capable of doing this. You're asking a mere man to go back to the nation of Israel because you've heard their cry and you have decided to deliver them. And now you're asking me to go back and to do that and announce that. And we all know all the things that happened. But you know the cool part? During that episode where Moses is before the burning bush, God tells him everything that's going to happen. You know, right? He told him everything. You're going to go to Pharaoh. You're going to say, let my people go. He's going to say, no. And then you're going to say, hey, guess what? The Israelites are my son. And if you don't let my son go, then guess what? I'm going to have to take the life of your son. And then he's going to say, no. And then, of course, Aaron is going to be there as your spokesperson, and you're going to be to Aaron like God, like I am to you, and whatever you tell him, he's going to say. And then Pharaoh's going to keep saying no. And then finally, when my judgment falls on the firstborn son of Pharaoh, he's going to let you go. Right? Y'all know that story. And Moses is just like, I can't do this. I can't do this. I want to read a verse in Exodus, because today we're remembering. And here's the verse. In Exodus 3, verse 14, it says, "And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations." And as y'all know the story, he said, I hadn't revealed that name to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. I never revealed myself with this name, but guess what? I am now revealing myself with this name. I am. I am. And so you are to now go and take my name. And we know what happens with him taking the name. And so he goes on and he takes the name. He's obedient. But remember, God said this is a memorial, a remembrance. So what are we doing today? We're remembering. We're remembering. The name I am, that powerful name, we go in that name. God wants us to understand his name is behind himself when he sends all of us to do what we do. The great I am, I love that. When we remember the strong arm of I am who took the Israelites out, and when he did it, as you remember, he saved the children of Israel because he first judged. Remember, his judgment fell first on the Lamb. See, we're to remember the Israelite suffrage as well. Not just the name and the strong arm of the Lord. We're to remember the Israelite suffrage. Israelites, 430 years waiting for this day, and then suddenly God says, okay, every man of every household, if your household's big enough to eat the whole meal, you are to go take a lamb, and on the 10th day of the month, bring them into your home, keep them there for 4 days, and then on the 14th day of the first month of the year, then you are to kill the lamb. Take the blood, put it on the doorposts outside your home, and across the top, the lintel. And because that represents judgment that's already fallen for the sins of the children of Israel, when I come through the land, since judgment's already fallen, then the firstborn will not be killed from the children of Israel. But on the households that do not have the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, because judgment has not fallen on them, my judgment will fall on the firstborn sons of the children of Egypt. Wow. We all know what happened. And so the children of Israel, when they remembered their suffrage, they're remembering 430 years, they're remembering now, all of a sudden they're told, okay, it's twilight, kill the lamb, each father in each home is doing that, and get ready, put your belt on, you know, get just like you're ready to go, and in the morning, guess what? We're moving out. We're going out into the desert. You know, there's only like 35 to 40,000 people in the Chapala Lake area. There were like 1.5 million or possibly more people. What if God said, okay, People around the Chapala Lake area, get ready, because tomorrow morning we're moving to Guadalajara. And it's going to be orderly, and everything's going to be wonderful. So don't worry, because guess what? You know what I'm going to do? I want y'all to go ahead and ask all of the people around you that are not believers if they would let you have their gold and silver and some clothes. That's what I would like for you to do. And so you're going to do that, and you're going to think you're crazy going and doing that, and they're probably going to respond like you're crazy, but guess what's going to happen? Between the time judgment falls on the Lamb and judgment falls on the firstborn son of Egypt, and the time that you're ready to get going to move out, my favor will fall upon the people, and they will bring out their gold, and they will bring out their silver, and they will bring out their clothes and give it to you. Wow! See, God promises He will provide for all of our needs. Just why are you worrying about these things? My name has gone before you. I will supply all your needs. Why are you worrying? Are we worrying right now about things, about tomorrow, about food? Are we worrying? Our God has sent His name and has sent His promise to provide for our needs. He said He would do it. So the Israelites didn't worry about trying to pack all the photo albums of all their 430 years while they were there, and all the stereo systems and the iPods. And all. They didn't try to pack all of that stuff. All they did was just grab just what was around them. They didn't even finish cooking. They just, the dough that they had put to be heated up, they didn't put any yeast in it. They just grabbed it, and it was just flat. It was unleavened. Because God wanted them in the memorial and the remembrance to know they went out in haste. Because when God moves, He moves quickly. And He moved the people from Egypt out. Orderly. Wow, that's wonderful. And that's what God wants to do. He wants us to remember the Israelite suffrage and the strong arm of the Lord that did that. Are you remembering that? Do you feel the victory? That's the God that we're serving. Wow. And I love that this little bit of when the next year comes around, there's already been order put among the Israelites. Because when they first did it, remember, each man of his household killed the lamb. Well, guess what? The next year, there was already order, and God said, wherever I put my name, that is where the lamb will be killed. That is where this. So we're already setting up the tabernacle and the temple and the place where the children of Israel were supposed to go and worship their one God, I Am, with the lamb. The books that were in the drawer, there was only one that has the true victory that points me to the true God. And they moved out in haste. And listen to this. Remember when I read Colossians and it talked about Jesus and Jesus and Jesus and Jesus and Jesus? Listen to this. I'm excited about this verse. In Exodus chapter 6, when Moses still was just struggling with this whole thing. I can't do this. I'm not a good speaker. Choose someone else. Listen to what God said to Moses. And then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he will let them go. And with a strong hand, he will drive them out of his land. And God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. And by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage in which they were strangers. I have also heard their groaning, the children of Israel, from whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the children of Israel. I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people. I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. So Moses spoke thus to the children of Israel. Wow. Every person in this room, God has spoken to you. And many of you, God has given you your purpose, your destiny, the thing that you're on earth to do right now. But for some reason, in your flesh and in your fear, you're not accomplishing that. You're not pursuing that. You have stopped, even though you heard the words. You've stopped. The message you needed to hear this morning is that God has not taken back his calling. He just wants you now to walk in faith and to know that he has gone before you and he wants to accomplish that thing. He wants to accomplish it. Don't worry anymore about trying to accomplish it. He wants to accomplish it through you. He sent his son to earth. He sent his son to die on the cross. He accomplished salvation and redemption for you and for me. We enter into what he has accomplished for us. I'm asking you today, stop trying to accomplish his will and enter into his accomplishment of his will in your life. He wants to do it, and he wants to show himself mighty through you and what he's told you he wants to do. Is Jesus enough for you? Or are you waiting on Jesus plus something to now begin the journey and pilgrimage to do what God has already called you to do? Is Jesus enough? If he isn't, I ask you to just reach out and call to him with your voice and say, Jesus, I want to know if you're enough. Will you reveal yourself to me? I'm asking you. I'm confessing you as Jesus, as Lord, as Savior. But there's something, some reason why I am not accomplishing it, some reason why I don't know you personally. Reveal yourself to me. I'm believing you right now to do that. And when you do that, he will. Let's close our eyes and just now just think on him and remember his victory. Remember what he has done for you. Remember where you are right now. And remember where he wants to take you. Remember the suffrage of the Israelites, but remember the strong arm of I am the Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Lord Jesus, thank you for your suffrage. Lord Jesus, thank you for your resurrection. Lord Jesus, enable me to enter in to your salvation. Holy Spirit, come. I praise you for that. Holy Spirit, come. I praise you for that, Holy Spirit. Come and enable us to be obedient and respond in faith to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
moment. We're